me for the will. The gifts are not the powers. Those are the virtues. And again, seven virtues. And over the centuries, the great minds of Christianity have associated, correlated the seven basic virtues or powers with the seven gifts. Again, to refresh our memories, the gifts are supernatural reflexes. They are reactive instincts that simultaneously both answer to the divine impulse coming from God. The key word is spontaneously coming from God. Our thoughts and inclinations on the natural order come, well, from nature. We see something, we hear something, we feel something in the senses. The senses, then, are the occasion for thoughts, and the thoughts are the precondition for desires, and the desires then are the precondition for our choices and actions. But the gifts are, what shall I say, supra-psychological. In other words, they are not caused, even occasioned, by the world of nature. They come directly from the Holy Spirit. First, the gift of wisdom. In the Church's teaching, the gift of wisdom is the highest in dignity. And the reason is because it makes the soul responsive to the Holy Spirit in the, to repeat, contemplation of divine things. In, so to speak, the use of God's ideas for evaluating every situation in our lives. Seeing God in everything. The language in the human vocabulary, we hear the words, we sense that we understand the meaning, but the key word is contemplating. Often, the word is used to describe the fullness of knowledge possessed by a person through, say, study, maybe years of study of a subject. This comes spontaneously, a penetration into the meaning of a revealed truth. Where faith is a simple knowledge of what God has revealed, wisdom goes on to a certain divine intuition. Not merely understanding, but penetrating into the deep meaning of what we believe with, and this is crucial, with an experience of such joy as is meant to be a foretaste of heaven. Over the years of our lives, there are so many persons who have entered our lives, and needless to say, we've never, say, read a biography of that person. All has still written a biography. Is all the difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone. Wisdom provides the knowing God and not merely knowing about God. As we read the lives of the mystics and the time factor is unimportant. Even a sudden, spontaneous penetrating into the meaning of who God is and what He is telling us with an illumination that never leaves the mind. In each of these seven gifts, as we go through them, I will do my best to apply our profiting from these gifts to our own spiritual lives and also recommending resolutions for your spiritual life for the future. We live as intelligent human beings by our thoughts. The mind is the foundation of everything else in the spiritual life. However, this mind of ours, I repeat, is to learn about many things. The main purpose, humanly speaking, of education is to learn, well, about so many things. But there is a difference, a world of difference, between knowing about something, or better, about someone, and what verb shall I use? Seeing with a mind who that person is. Human sight in the body, as we know, is the only and yet the best analogy we have for seeing with the mind. Years after we have studied, reflected, read about something, or better, someone, Then we say, now I see. This gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of wisdom, is the inclination, the urge, divinely inspired, as far as we can, this side of heaven, and I mean this, to see God. Our souls and our faith tells us our souls are made to know the God from whom we've come and toward whom we are going. Strange language. Wisdom partakes of the grace of mysticism. A contemplative nun like St. Margaret Mary, after one of her superiors, God used her, 6-7 hours lost in contemplation before the Blessed Sacrament. Over the years, as I'm sure I've already told you, there have been unbelievers writing learned books, among them William James. Yes, a big thing, must be 500 or more page book on the mystics. He goes through some of the greatest mystics of Christian history. A St. Monica, St. Augustine, more recent times, St. John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, and at great length he analyzes their mysticism, and everyone in William James' mind is psychotic. I see that we're on the first of the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit, because, and I know whereof I speak, besides my graduate degree in psychology, besides over the years, 50 years of my priesthood, I've counseled many people, including not a few psychiatrists. Is not that of the world. In other words, wisdom is a gift by which the world of learning and the psychological sciences knows nothing. Under divine inspiration, which is what we're talking about here, we may be urged, called inspired, to do things which in human language is nonsense. the gift of wisdom provides a meaning which you cannot explain in human terms. But there's more still. More than once, even in these days so far, I have recommended daily meditation. 15 minutes, better, if you can afford it. Pardon me, afford it. Half an hour of mental prayer. Just enjoying being in the presence of God. And I wish to repeat, and the single most powerful impulse for the experience of this gift of wisdom is the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. I want to be clearer than I've ever been in the years of our retreats with some of you. Fall in love with Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. All I can tell you is, He will put meaning into your life. Enjoy being in the presence of the living God, who became man, not only, as I keep saying, to die on the cross for our salvation. God became man in order to remain with us as the God-man in the Blessed Sacrament. And as again, I've said more than once, I am under explicit direct orders from the present Holy Father to everyone who can to restore faith in the real presence among so many of your Catholics who have lost their faith in the Eucharist, and strengthen the faith of those who have it. Eucharistic adoration is it is necessary, indispensable to save our nation from destruction by the widespread paganism that has penetrated our society. Second gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of understanding. I'm using my own material. I'm not plagiarizing. And the gift of understanding is a supernatural enlightenment given to the mind for grasping revealed truths easily and profoundly. How does the gift of understanding differ from faith? It differs from faith because this gift provides insight into the meaning of what we believe. By faith we accept what God has revealed. By the gift of understanding we grasp the meaning of what we believe. There is no substitute for this gift of understanding. Having taught for so many years, 25 years, my own Jesuits, teaching them theology. As I keep repeating, we are the most academically educated nation in human history. But not just what a pity, but what a tragedy. As the human mind grows, and in its understanding will of the world of creation. I finished my doctoral studies in biochemistry. All I had to do was write my doctoral thesis. Then, thank God, was taken out of science and sent home to get a doctorate in theology. The deep understanding the average educated American has of everything in the world, but the same academic sophisticates can be babbling waves when it comes to understanding the faith. I don't know what I'd have to say, what words I should use to convince you. Convince you of the need of growing in an understanding of what you believe. Reflection. Powerful reflection on what we believe. But be sure they are good, solid, honest to God, Catholic authors, and sadly, imprimaturs are no longer a guarantee of Catholic orthodoxy. Work with others. Form study groups. At Detroit, they're beginning to organize a national Great Catholic Books Association. You take a widespread what is called the Great Catholic Books Program. Well, they're great books. They're big. And the authors which people are studying are famous. Like who? Like Nietzsche. Like Immanuel Kant. Like who? Like David Hume. And that is why I spent several years writing what we call the Catholic Lifetime Reading meet periodically with kindred spirits, discussing, for example, well, one chapter after another of St. Augustine's City on God. This gift of understanding is a divine impulse which urges us to deepen, penetrate into, and embrace the meaning of our revealed Catholic faith. That's honest. There are no longer a match we profess Catholics are no longer a match for the world, both apostates and unbelievers. And even as I heard and then reread some of the questions we've had so far, there is no snapshot answer to an objection. The culture of death, as the Holy Father calls it, has penetrated the whole world. And the main reason becomes, for sadly, most people, I sincerely believe, in our own country, for most people, this is the only world here on earth that either exists or at least is the only one we are sure exists. Study, pray to grow in the understanding of the faith. That's what his gift of understanding is all about. I'm afraid most people, whether or not they have the faith, the faith he professes, my figure of speech will make sense, they are not understanding the faith. They are overstanding their faith. They walk on the faith over the comfortable carpet, nice and soft. But they don't get under. Am I making some sense? They don't get below, beneath, under what they believe. And the tragedy is, if the evil spirit, and he is very intelligent, now the main weapon to cope with the spirit of untruth so widely controlling our modern society, our principal weapon is the mind. The mind, under long pause, standing, what we believe. Otherwise, when the now three things will happen. I've struggled with too many priests. Sadly, there are a few of my own fellow Jesuits whom I taught. I could list the names of all of them. Well, I'd especially ask you to remember, where must I have my name? His name is Father Hardin. One of my former students. Who rejected the Catholic faith. I'm talking from experience. Under the Holy See's directives, I've had too many meetings with too many members of the hierarchy. Pray for bishops. So many do not really understand well the faith for which they are to be shepherds of the flock. Third gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of knowledge. Sometimes called the signs of the saints. This gift enables us, through what we might call some form of relish, to judge everything, from a supernatural perspective by means of lesser causes. Closely tied in with his gift of knowledge is a lesson of past experience. After a person has learned the emptiness of things created and the hollowness of sin. One reason that allows us to sin is obviously to humiliate us. The royal road to humility is paved with humiliations. The illusion pioneered them. However, it is not only that humiliations, what else, provide us for means of becoming, well, more whole. But the disappointments, the failures, the losses, even in the spirit of the tragedies in our lives, are meant by God to teach us through the gift of knowledge that nothing in this world matters except God and His will in this life and the possession and enjoyment of God in the life to come. We need failure. We need, and as one who is not the youngest here in chapel, I know there are 2 14-year-old retreatants. Welcome. Well, the closer you get to eternity, the more in God's providence we should go in our knowledge of the emptiness of everything except God. Emptiness, do I say? That's an understatement. Except for God, none of us would even exist. What in God's providence is the purpose of knowledge? This gift is enabling us to pass judgment on creatures, to help us see God in them, behind them, around them, in all, everything in this world. I've said this before, but now I want to etch it in bronze. Everything in this world is meant to be a grace of God. That's why we make mistakes. We need them. Then, and by now all of us have had enough creatures have entered our lives. Both physical creatures like food and human beings, your husbands, your wives, your fathers, your children, the friends we've met, have known, and know now. And the longer we live, the longer we experience that in the deepest human friendship, what a safe statement can be disappointing. I've talked to men married 30, 40 years. Why did I ever marry? And it's just as well that most people don't sit down and write a history of their marriage. God wants creatures hear it to disappoint us. Now, please don't misunderstand me. We are to love the creatures. Don't tell your wife when you go home. I never thought of this before. I told them what I was expecting when I married you. Please don't tell her that. And above all, don't you dare say, I am disappointed. Don't say that. But am I making sense? The gift of knowledge is to teach us. Well, I consider one of the hardest lessons in life to learn. There is nothing in the world of creation, to put it mildly, is fully satisfying and can be. Tragically, agonizingly disappointing. That's what this gift of knowledge is all about. Give us as we grow in age and please God in a supernatural knowledge. To inspire us to look forward to that everlasting and perfect happiness for which this world in it is a painful precondition. You may be surprised, but over the centuries, would you believe it? The Church has identified the gift of knowledge with the third beatitude, which means, happy are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. What are we being told? The mourning, the disappointments, the sorrows are to strengthen us. That's what comfort means. Strengthen us in our faith, because the first four gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the mind, are meant to be gifts for strengthening your faith. Here is where all our sorrows here in life, there are disappointments with the created world in which we live, but we don't just resign ourselves. All right, I'll take it. But grace of Christ, happy we are to rejoice. Father, watch yourself. We are to rejoice in these disappointments. Be happy over the failures. Why? Because by accepting these failures and sufferings and trials here on earth, the gift of knowledge teaches us we are made for an everlasting joy, where there will be no more suffering, no more pain, but only perfect beatitude in the possession of the one loving God. I want to cover the first four gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts pertaining to the mind, of which the fourth is the gift of counsel. As we've been saying, these gifts are the supernatural inclinations given to us by the Holy Spirit and here to assist the mind in the use of the virtue of prudence. Remember, among the seven powers infused into our souls in baptism, the first, what I call the moral virtues, is prudence. How we need this gift of counsel. Prudence, remember, we said, was a virtue which enables the mind to know what to do and how to do it in every situation in life. But the gift of counsel goes beyond the virtue of prudence. This gift refers primarily to prudent conduct. First, there are two parts to this gift of counsel. Part one is, enables us to act not just with the natural, but with supernatural, superhuman prudence in our own lives.